This is Sunday Side Up, a presentation of Sarkis Tarzian Incorporated. Here's your host, Barb Richards.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sunday Side Up. I am your host, Barb Richards, and I'm very excited today to have guest Paul Helmke in Fort Wayne and on the radio with us today. Thanks for making the time.
Hey, it's great to be back.
Well, you were saying you still have your home here, and so
right.
You come back on occasion.
Yeah, Fort Wayne has always been home. Even when I was working in D.C. with the Brady Center, we kept the home here and tried to get back regularly, and Bloomington's a lot closer and easier to get back to Fort Wayne from than D.C. So
right.
This is still home.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the name's so historical here in Fort Wayne with your dad and your grandfather and just that whole life of politics that you've left.
The family's been here a long time. It's a great community. And both my parents are still alive. My in-laws are still alive. So it's good to get back and see family and see friends. This new gig in Bloomington is interesting one for me, too.
So. All right. So, let's go back in time. Let's first of all talk about the new job down there at Bloomington. I was pleased to see the news release. I think it's a great fit. As you said, it's your hometown. You were born there.
Mm-hmm. Fort Wayne's hometown, but
right.
that's it. I'm a native of Bloomington, and I was born there when my father was in school, and more importantly, when my mother was with my father when he was down there at school. But so I was born in Bloomington, and actually, the apartment I've got now is right across the street from where I live from birth to 9 months old or something.
Oh my gosh!
But went there undergrad too, and IU's a great place. Bloomington's a great place, and mm-hmm. I'm teaching undergrads this semester urban policy and solutions, helping.
Did you approach them? Did they approach you? Was it a mutual thing?
I gave a talk last March, I think it was, in Indianapolis to some Indiana mayors, and it was a program sponsored by IU's School of Public and Environmental Affairs, SPEA. And afterwards, talking to a couple of the people from SPEA, and they said, you really ought to check into, coming down teaching with us. And I said, thought about that maybe sometime, but I don't have a PhD,
Right.
And they've got something new called a professor of practice, trying to bring people that have had real world experiences. And, I'd been a mayor for 12 years and president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, ran the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence for 5 years in D.C. And so I said, well, if talk to the dean, if he's interested, I'll check with him. And they were interested. And so I talked to him and it worked out. And I'm excited about it. It keeps you young and sharp, and actually makes you feel old seeing all these kids. But it's an exciting place to be down at a university community.
Yeah, it is. I do think it does keep you young just to see all mm-hmm. that energy that's coming in. How you feeling? You've been at it for a couple of weeks here now.
It's work. I didn't get the text, the main text that I'm using. I didn't get it till 2 days before classes started.
Oh my
gosh! It's there's a lot of things I can talk about just based on my experiences, but you do want to follow the text. So I've got to stay a step or two ahead of the students in reading. And then I've got to figure out how to make a lecture out of it and how to get some discussions out of it and how to get a test out of it. But and students today are, it's different from when I was in school. They're every time I see them walking on campus, they're looking at their smartphones and they've got their earbuds in, and mm-hmm. a lot more international students than when I was there. So it's a different mix.
It is a whole different world than what you and I did, that's
mm-hmm.
for sure. It continues to change so quickly. I'm not so sure all positively, but...
Yeah, change is inevitable. It's one of the things I said when I was mayor. Things don't stay the same, and they're either going to change for the better or they're going to change for the worse. And what we can do is to try to make things change for the better.
Do you find that college kids are interested in these subjects of community and leading? I worry about that.
Well, that's I'm still not sure, but I think they are. It's a mm-hmm. fact. One of the other jobs I've got is I'm director of a new Civic Leaders Living Learning Center. It's called there. They want to try to set up a program for incoming freshmen. This will start in the fall to hear more about civic leadership. And these can be SPEA students, pre-law students, business students, any part of the school. And I've spent a lot of my life and career dealing with leadership issues and encouraging them, how you get involved in your community, how you make a difference, whether through not-for-profits or your business or your job or your neighborhood. And mm-hmm. and that's what's important, because our system of government really only works if people are willing to put in the time and the effort and give of themselves to make it work. So
you're right.
Civic leadership, I think, is one of the most crucial things we can try to talk about. And, I'm excited about this program. I want to bring in speakers, folks that have been neighborhood activists, activists or people that have, you know, been political activists, whatever, to to talk to these college freshmen and basically say, you can do this too. And here's how, and here's what you should be studying. Here's what you should be doing. Here's who you should be listening to and talking to. Here's how you should be forming your own opinions and expressing yourselves.
And the importance of that. Oh my gosh. It's just got to be important to those kids to step up to the plate.
Right. It's, you know, when I was an undergrad, you know, centuries ago, it feels like, you know, student activism was something that was happening on so many levels.
Right.
And I don't think it's quite the same today. And, you know, there's the financial stresses and career stresses and just all that that's going on. But we need young people to be involved with the university community, with their hometown communities, with the communities that they're going to be moving to as they graduate. And I want them to start thinking that way now, because that's really going to affect them later on. I grew up thinking, you know, you got involved at every level, clubs, schools, churches, the community. And that's what we don't teach, I think, quite as much as we should. And I want to try to do now.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the United States in general these days? You've spent a lot of time in D.C. You've seen all, you've been involved with politics your whole life. You spent some time in Europe also, as you have a daughter living over there. And I just read a story this morning that the best place for a child to be born these days is Switzerland.
Hmm.
And then it mentioned Austria and Denmark, and all of those countries right there together are highest on the level of being born today.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the highest life expectancy. You've got a lot of those countries tax people, but they take care of your schooling. What do you see from the outside looking in?
I'm not sure I've ever been on the outside, but it's I'm optimistic about you know, what's going on in our country and actually what's going on in the world. It's easy to be pessimistic about specific things. I mean, D.C. is pretty dysfunctional when it comes to Congress and getting things done. We still have a lot of long range issues facing the country, from the financial situation to climate. To violence, to education, all that. But when you read history, and I love to read history, you know, the world, the country has always had problems. And, you know, we can get through it if we identify the problems and work together. It's in terms of where we stand vis-a-vis the rest of the world. I know some people get upset that, you know, other countries are doing better than us, but we can learn from other countries. And part of it is we have helped those other countries really get to that stage today. After World War II, when we hadn't suffered as much as Europe had, we really helped Europe recover, and we led the way. And you know, even the communist countries, China is booming today because they've embraced some capitalism, because they're buying cars, because they're buying goods. These are the things we wanted. But it's sort of like when you're the top dog and you want everybody else to try to catch up with you. When they start catching up with you, or even getting ahead of us in some areas, we should applaud that. It's you know, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted a world where people were having more benefits, and that means we've got more competition. Still a lot of problems. Still a lot of areas of concern. Middle East, obviously, terrorism, some of the craziness that happens. But you know, again, we've always had that in the world. In this country, it's we just have to encourage our elected officials to look long range and try to do the right thing and not get so tied up into what their party line is you know, what they've promised somebody else they're going to do. Try to find some solutions for us. Let us try to make it a better country, a better world.
Did you go see the movie Lincoln?
Haven't seen it yet. Red Team of Rivals, a great book, and Lincoln to me is still my favorite president, and I've got to get down and see the movie.
You really do, because when obviously you already know this, but the reason he's been so popular in recent history is because he really worked at getting, it just deals with that last month of him trying to pass the Emancipation Proclamation. Didn't matter what party they were, he was just out to get them to say yes.
Well, and folks, you know, sometimes think that our leaders in the past were just the marble gods, the statues that are in D.C. They were real people dealing with real issues, and they had to do arm twisting and horse trading, and politics can be nasty business, but you move the country forward by going through a political process where some people think they're winners, some people think they're losers, but hopefully the whole country wins when you advance the issues.
You feel they've got a good handle on the fiscal cliff?
So far, they just keep kicking the can down a road a couple months. It's never easy. It's The economy's got to get stronger. My sense is the economy is getting stronger. Housing numbers are coming up. When the economy gets stronger, then the governor's the government's tax revenues will increase, and we'll have less of a problem. But we've got to deal long range with the debt, with Social Security, with Medicare, with these long range things. But it's I still remember in the 70s and 80s when I was first getting involved in local politics, and people were saying, you know, this debt, the deficit, it's never going to be solved. In the 90s, we started balancing the budget. When Clinton left office, there was a surplus. Then what we did is we pretended, oh, we'll have surpluses forever and ever. That's what the 10-year projection said. So they did tax cuts to return the surplus to the people, and they did programs without paying for them, and they did wars without paying for them. And again, I don't want to point fingers of blame, but, it was right. Short-range thinking, where all of a sudden we thought that the projections of surplus forever were right. Now we start thinking the projections of deficits forever are right. It's, in real life, your projections have to change. You can make adjustments. You can set things on the right track.
Well, I do miss. I did think, though, that losing Hillary Clinton was a big loss. I'm sorry to see her.
I went to law school. I was in school with Hillary at Yale Law School, and not always agreed necessarily with Hillary politically, but have always thought really highly of her and Bill Clinton too. Actually, we were in Serbia in the fall visiting my daughter. My son-in-law is in the U.S. Army and stationed at the embassy in Belgrade. But Secretary of State Clinton stopped by the embassy for a reception while we were there, so I got a chance to see Hillary, and she was surprised to see me in Belgrade. Last time I saw her was in it was on the Hill. Ran into her in the halls of Congress. But she's worked real hard at that. She has to be exhausted.
That's
a lot of traveling, and so I think she deserves some rest and maybe another book and figure out what steps she wants to take next. And I hope she stays involved.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think she's a good asset. So already half of the show is already done and over with, and we still have so much more to talk about.
You're so easy to talk to,
Barb. Well, stay tuned. We've got more with Paul Helmke coming up. This is Sunday Side Up.
Sunday Side Up is heard each week on WAJI-FM and WLDE-FM Fort Wayne, both proudly owned by Sarkis Tarzian Incorporated.
This is Sunday Side Up, and I'm so pleased that you decided to spend part of your weekend with us. Paul Helmke is here now with IU Bloomington, doing some great things down there, talking to kids about being part of the communities. We talked about that earlier. You can find out more online, quite honestly, if you just go to the IU website. But you spent a lot of time with the Brady Campaign for Gun Violence, and I saw you right after, we're friends on Facebook, saw you right after post, after Newtown, something about when will they ever learn?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's the Newtown shooting. I was so angry afterwards, and not shocked, because really until we start to do something about gun violence, these sorts of shootings are going to continue. And this was, probably the most horrendous one that we've seen as a country.
We've seen a lot, though, I think.
It's just... And, both as mayor, I got involved with the gun violence issue when I was mayor. And it was, we were seeing a lot of violence in Fort Wayne.
And
as mayor, you end up talking to the mothers, responding to the families, getting the calls late at night, going to the hospital. And that's when I wanted to do something about it. And as mayor, you add police officers, do neighborhood policing, broken window theory, work with the faith community. But I learned how weak our laws were in this country with regard to gun violence. And that's where I got to know Jim and Sarah Brady. That's what led eventually to the job in D.C. running the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. And it's an issue that we could make some major differences on gun violence if we just took some simple steps. You're not going to solve all the problems. You're not going to end all violence. There are people out there that do horrible things. There is evil in the world. But if we just made it harder for dangerous people to get guns, require background checks at every sale, make sure the states get the records in the background check system, have good definitions of the sort of people we don't want to have buying guns legally, felons and those who are dangerously mentally ill, that a good strong background check system alone can make a big difference. Have stronger penalties when people are trafficking in guns. Really crack down on straw buyers. Right now, it is legal to go in and buy 87 of the same make and model of a semi-automatic at a gun show without a background check from a private seller. And is anyone shocked what happens when someone buys 87 of the same make and model of a semi-automatic? They put them in the trunk. They sell them in the trunk to the gangbangers. And at the Brady Center, we've actually been involved in lawsuits against the people who knowingly did this because we said they should know what's going to be happening to these guns. But again, as a country, we've done nothing about it. Some of these weapons shouldn't be readily available to the civilian public. Since 1934, we've had restrictions on machine guns. They're not banned, but there's serious restrictions. You don't see bank robberies with machine guns like we used to with Al Capone and John Dillinger. So it's worked. But we need to say that, you know, the technology has made guns today that are more like those machine guns than what we used to have. Maybe we ought to treat some of those like machine guns, and particularly those high capacity ammunition clips. When you've got a magazine that you stick in the gun that can shoot 33 bullets in 15 seconds, the Aurora shooter had a drum that had 100 bullets in it. The Newtown shooter had, this is how you end up with 6-year-olds getting 10, 11 bullets in them. And it just is horrendous. Not needed. You don't need these high capacity magazines for self-defense. You don't need them for hunting. Police officers don't carry that size of ammunition. We can do some things.
And we need to do some things. It's just amazing to me that we've had the Brady organization working on it for many, many years. And then again, then all these tragedies that have happened in that time span.
Well, when I was at Brady, we had the Amish school shooting where I think it was like 8 or 9 little school kids were killed. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened. We had the Virginia Tech shooting where 32 people were murdered. Mm-hmm. And we did change one law then to encourage states to send some more records in. But, you know, it was just that was tinkering around the edges. Then we had the Tucson shooting just 2 years ago where mm-hmm. Congresswoman Giffords is seriously injured. The 9-year-old is killed. The federal judge is killed. The congressional staffer is killed. I thought then something was going to happen, but nothing happened. And you see a pattern. These shootings happen. And then the folks that don't want changes say now is not the time to talk about it. And it's kind of like, well, okay, let's don't talk about this one. Let's talk about the one that happened a month ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it's never the time to talk about it. And then they say you're politicizing it. Well, you know, if there's an airplane crash, we talk about how we're going to make the airplane safer. If mm-hmm. there's car crashes, as mayor, we would look at, do we need better lighting at the intersection? Do we need to improve the road at that intersection? Do we need more lanes? Do we need a bigger shoulder? We looked at that every time there was a major car crash. You know, at the national level, they required seatbelts. And airbags and safer cars. They got pedos off the street because they would explode. Those are the sorts of things we look at when we look at cars, when we look at planes, when we look at Tylenol, when we look at spinach with E. coli. We always respond immediately. With guns, we don't do anything.
Why and I is think that? It was because of the right to bear arms that people always say, it's our constitution.
Well, that's the one thing you hear, but it's really not a constitutional issue. When I was at Brady, the Supreme Court had these two cases that said it's, and, you know, even if I might have disagreed with how they did it, they said it was you had an individual right to keep and bear arms. Okay, that to me says fine. That's resolved that issue. But the Supreme Court, Justice Scalia, Justice Alito, conservative justices, said at the same time that this right, the Second Amendment right, this right, like other rights, is, quote, not unlimited. You can have restrictions on the First Amendment. You've got to watch what you say on air. People have to watch what they say in print. You can't yell fire in the crowded theater. So he said it's not unlimited. And then they said you can have restrictions on who buys guns, where they take them, how they're sold, how they're carried, how they're stored, even what kind of guns they are. Some restrictions are presumptively lawful. So the whole issue should be, where do we draw that line on who gets the guns, where they take the guns, how they're sold, how they're stored, how they're carried? You know, so it's not a constitutional issue. But so often, and it's the NRA leadership, not the membership. I've got a lot of good friends that are NRA members, but the leadership, they say, nope, any restriction is a violation of our rights. That's not what the Supreme Court said. That's not what Scalia said. That's not what their members believe. Their members support background checks. But the leadership, they only can raise their money by scaring people They can only keep their high salaries by scaring people. They can only help support the people that make money off of guns, the manufacturers and the distributors and the sellers, by scaring people. And that's what it gets down to. The people that I represent are the ones that are victims, and the mayors and the police chiefs that respond to this. And the other side, the leadership, represent the people that make money off of it.
How did you feel the president? The president came out with proposing some gun restrictions. Good step? I mean, obviously, a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I thought the president and vice president, the proposals they came up with were very good ones. It's sort of things that, again, don't touch on the Constitution, you know, don't violate anyone's constitutional mm-hmm. rights. Our common sense proposals are proposals that are supported by not just the majority of Americans, but the majority of gun owners and NRA members, too. Mm-hmm. And it would make a difference. And I just hope that we get some of our elected officials, particularly those in Indiana. It's a, you know, Joe Donnelly has an A, the new senator has an A rating from the NRA. But, you know, Senator Donnelly, this is a common sense thing. Dan Coats has supported things like this back in the 90s when the Brady Bill came up. You know, hopefully Senator Coats can support them. Congressman Stutzman, he says it's just a mental health issue and he doesn't want to touch on Second Amendment rights. Well, this isn't a constitutional issue anymore. It's, you know, and there are people that need mental health help.
Right.
But I don't want the ones that are dangerous to be able to buy guns.
Yeah.
And a background check can stop that. So the people need to contact the elected officials to say, hey, we'll back you up on this. We want some common sense. This isn't one extreme versus the other. This is in the middle. Let's get something done.
Do you feel that that started?
I think so, but we still have to wait and see. I think a lot of the electeds, and, you know, I've been an elected official. I know how this works. They're waiting to see, is this issue going to stay on the front pages? Are they going to continue to hear from the folks in Northeast Indiana and around the country that aren't the, you know, the sort of the conventional responders on on this issue? And I think if they hear that, then something can get done.
Newtown set a raw nerve across the whole country. There's just something about a kindergartner being shot like that, I'm hoping that it was bad enough finally.
You hate to see the tragedies, but I think this one, it clearly got to the president. I mean, I'd been frustrated with the president in the past that he hadn't done more, or tried to do more. Mm-hmm. And I know when I had talked to him in the past, it was always, well, we don't want to take on a quixotic issue type thing. We don't want to try something that doesn't have a chance. Well, I think this one got to him, and I think it showed that if there is some leadership, and more importantly, if the people speak up, I think we can get something done.
Are there petitions going on that we should know about that make it easy for us to respond? We need to take the time to write the letter.
There's all sorts of things on the web pages. You can go to Mayors Against Illegal Guns. They've got a web page called demandaplan.org. Brady Campaign has different things on their web page. One of the exciting things, a mother in Zionsville, Indiana, started a new group called 1 Million Moms for Gun Control. Nice. On her own. She'd never been involved in the issue, has 5 kids. She was just shocked by this. She, I think, had 25,000 Facebook followers within a week. She's helping to plan events in Indiana and across the nation to speak up. This is what it takes. It takes average Americans saying enough is enough. We want our kids to be safe. We're not going to stop all evil, but making it harder for dangerous people to get dangerous weapons is something that can make it better for all of us.
We'll link a couple of those websites on our at waji.com along with this program. So great information. You're always a wealth of information. Really appreciate that. What do you think when you come back to Fort Wayne and you're seeing the downtown vitality?
It's downtown's looking great. I know it's the baseball stadium is beautiful. It's really turned out well. Helped to get the hotel there. We had talked about the hotel at that site for a long time. Mm-hmm. I was sort of concerned whether the baseball stadium would work right away. It's helped bring the baseball stadium to the one by the Coliseum and the original team.
Right.
But the fact that we got that there in the early 90s allowed us to do what we did then recently.
Step.
And that's how you do things. It's almost a block at a time, a step at a time. You get the baseball stadium, you get the hotel, you get new bars and restaurants, you get more people coming downtown. That helps support housing downtown. I think the condos, the apartments, Anthony Wayne Bank, the Harrison, all these things are great. I love my house in Fort Wayne. at it for a long time, but I'd look at a condo downtown if the time was right.
So you're going to come back to Fort for Fitness, run a half marathon with all of us?
Depends when that is. I'll have to see. I am the one thing in Bloomington. It's I walk to my office, so it's over a mile to the office. It's a mile back. When I go to lunch, I'm walking. So I figured I was fit when I was a college undergrad, so I could. I want to get that fit again.
It's an energetic community down there in Bloomington. They have a lot of bike riding going on down there. So we're just so glad that you've decided to keep your talents here in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, it's great to be back, really.
We love having you down at IU Bloomington. Paul Helmke, thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thanks a lot, Barb.
Great information. This is Sunday Side Up.
Thanks for tuning in for Sunday Side Up with your host, Barb Richards. The views expressed in the show are not necessarily those of Sarkis Tarzian Management. For comments or questions, please contact the station directly.